Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be talking about a subject matter I think we all need to be aware of. What is that? Gratitude. MJ Ryan is my guest today. Attitudes of Gratitude. This year, they have put out their 10th anniversary edition. It's all about, well, we'll find out what it's all about. I want to welcome MJ Ryan to the show. Hi, MJ.
Hello, I'm happy to be with you.
Well, it's a delight. Now, you've authored a number of best-selling books. You are a speaker. You have been involved with human development, and you also work with various businesses throughout the country. You live in San Francisco. This must have been quite exciting to you when the 10th anniversary edition, Attitudes of Gratitude, came out. 10 years ago, would you have imagined that this would have been a possibility?
Well, no. I guess I was at the forefront of a wave, which, thank goodness, has begun to sweep the country and the world of understanding the power of gratitude. And when I wrote that book, there had really been nothing done in the mainstream media. The only books I could find were ones from various religious traditions. There were Buddhist books, and there were Christian books, and there were Jewish books, but there were no, you know, non-religious books on gratitude. And what I did was I observed myself and my friends and the people I worked with, and I thought, when we practice this thankfulness, what happens to us, and why is it such a good thing? And I just observed and wrote about that, and then it turns out that over the last 10 years or so, scientists in positive psychology have begun to study gratitude, and what they discovered was, in fact, just what I had imagined to be true. So it's been an interesting journey of the science confirming what my observations had been.
Now, you used the word imagined to be true. When you first put this together, was it part of a lesson for you when you were writing it? Were you sort of writing
Absolutely.
It for yourself?
Absolutely. What it really was part of my campaign to become happier in my life. And what I did was I thought, okay, so I want to be happy. I don't know how to be happy. So I'm going to look at happy people and I'm going to study them. And one of the things I quickly observed were they were more grateful than me. So I thought, maybe there's something there. So I began to actually practice thankfulness and then observe what happened to me. And now the science is there to say why, in fact, when we practice these mental attitudes of gratitude and other positive, what we think of as emotions, which are really thoughts, why they give us an uplift and why they're so good for us. So we can talk about that together.
Yes, we can. I had to chuckle when, in the introduction to your book, there was a friend of your daughter, Anna, who had come over for dinner, and she sits down at the dinner table. I just loved it because this is so visual. I know, she says, at your house, you have to eat a vegetable, and you have to say one thing you're thankful for at the table. Now, I can just picture this young person going, oh, geez,
oh man, what is this about? These crazy household over here. Yes. So I have been doing this practice of one thing that you're thankful for since my daughter was 2. And she was very late developing in speech. She's adopted from China and she had been severely neglected. So she was very late in speaking. And so she would sit there in her little high chair and I'd say, okay, Anna, what are you thankful for today? And she would take her little finger and she would point to each person who was at the table.
Oh, and how fabulous.
And so, of course, whoever was visiting, you know, everyone's heart would melt and we would just be in this love fest together. So now she's now 12 and she still knows that this is what we do at our house. And through the practice of that every single solitary day over these last 10 years, I've really come to see one of the aspects of gratitude, which is that when we do it with other people, we create a stronger connection. So one of the things that you were pointing out was that I do a lot of work around the world. And what that means is I come home, I may have been gone for as long as 10 days, I drag my butt in the house, I'm exhausted, all I want to do is lie down, especially if I've been traveling from someplace like the Middle East, which I can't even tell what time it's in my body anymore, right? And there's my shining face of my family, and they want to hang out with me. And I'll never forget this one day. And usually it's nighttime when you land, but if you come from the Middle East, you always get there in the middle of the day. And so it was dinner time, and we're sitting down, and I'm just thinking, just leave me alone, people, you know. But because of this tradition that we have, they say, you know, where it's time for the dinner words. And I'm thinking, there is nothing thankful for whatsoever except the never. But I thought, okay, come on, you got to really do this thing. And I looked at their faces, and I said, I'm really, really thankful that you're in my life. And I allowed myself to feel my love. And then, boom, I was happy. I was energized. I was ready to carry on for the evening.
Isn't it amazing how something so small, seemingly so small, can make such a big difference in the way we perceive what's going on around us?
It's truly astounding. I mean, when I wrote the book originally, I said, this is a magic key. It's absolutely free. It takes no time at all. You don't have to work at it. It's really just about shining the flashlight of your awareness on what's right and good and whole in your life, no matter what else is going on. That's what it is. And when we do that, science now knows, we activate the part of our brain that floods our body with the feel-good hormones. That's why we feel good when we think it.
Absolutely. You have a wonderful story in here about a youngster, Lauren, who had lived in so many different foster homes, and one of her foster parents gave her a small rock and told her to carry it always with her in her pocket, wherever she went. Every time she was getting to feel uncomfortable, she would just need to find that little rock in her pocket and think of something she was very grateful for. And it shifts her thinking quite a bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the guy who told me that story sent me a rock, and whenever I speak publicly about gratitude, I hand out rocks, because it's a wonderful, wonderful way to make the practice just what I call just-in-time gratitude. So it's good to do it at a regular basis to build the muscle, whether that's at night or in the morning or when you're driving home from work. But it's also good to have just-in-time gratitude, which is when you're feeling frustrated or angry or annoyed or scared or worried. Just go, yes, that's all true, and what am I thankful for right this minute? And then, like Lauren, you can come back to the essential goodness of your life and feel even a little bit better, even if hard things are happening.
You have a number of very good quotes in your book. One of them by Bhakti is, if you look to others for fulfillment, you will never be truly fulfilled. If your happiness depends on money, you will never be happy with yourself. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there's nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. Those are very, very powerful words, and I think anyone who takes the time to reflect on those words can gain a lot from it. But again, it's just taking that positioning of gratitude. Now, there is another story that you have in here in your book, The Attitudes of Gratitude. You talk about climbing the ladder of success, and you say that it was so important to you, and by golly, finally you realized what was really important was enjoying the journey, because you weren't having a lot of joy in your
life. That's right, and one of the things about gratitude is that it brings us to the joyfulness of this moment, because it's really about what you have now. That's why it's a great antidote to worry, for instance, because worry is always in the future, even if it's 5 minutes from now, you know, what are the test results, or what if I lose my house? Well, in this moment, you're okay. In this moment, you have love, so the question is to ask yourself, what do I still have? What can I still enjoy and appreciate? When I talk about gratitude, I always say it's not an either or thing. It's an and thing. It's not to deny, I'm not suggesting people become Pollyannas. It's not to deny the difficulties, the challenges, the pain of our lives. Many people are going through very, very hard things right now. And the last thing that you want to hear when you're going through something hard is that you shouldn't feel bad. You have every right to feel bad. And as long as you also practice, okay, that's true, and what can I still enjoy? What can I still appreciate? Where is there no lack? Where is my true wealth, as a friend of mine, the question she asked, she said, you know, we may be poor, but we're not poor in love or in friendship. Or so notice what you where you do have abundance, then you feel a little bit better.
I think that many times in the pace of today's world, with all of the technology and you have stuff bombarding you from different aspects of media, wherever you go, there it seems like life screams at you in the modern day world, unless you're out in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of Iowa somewhere. It's just the way it is, especially in the big cities. And people believe that that's what's real, and they don't know quite how to turn it off. And that moment of gratitude can shift you into a mindful moment that allows you to be really where you want to be, and that is mindfully present with where you are and who you are and the fact that there is opportunity, there is choice, there are
yes,
options.
And what's interesting, though, is that you, I was recently speaking on gratitude. Suddenly, of course, as things have gotten harder, actually, it's gotten to be a hotter topic. So I was giving a workshop, and there were, you know, many, many people there. So I was talking about how it's a great antidote when you care about people to help work on the relationship without them even knowing it. It doesn't take people to work on a relationship. It only takes one person, which is you, to think something positive about the other person. So I said, I've used it for years as my instant relationship repair kit. So this woman raises her hand, and I say, yeah. She said, well, she said, okay, let me see how this would work. She said, I'm really upset my daughter is going out in that outfit, right? So she says, she goes, I mean, I love her and I appreciate her, but she's going out in that? And I said, can you hear the difference between the appreciation part of this and the she's going out in that part of this? I said,
right. There's
a huge difference. One is, oh, yeah, I appreciate her. This is in the abstract. That's not what gratitude is. Gratitude is what specifically. You've got to make it as vivid and alive to yourself as the horror movie you're making up about the outfit. Otherwise, it won't work. So if we just rattle off a list, oh, yeah, I have my health. You know, I have my health, I have my this, I have my that. It's not going to have the same effect. Allow yourself to really recognize and receive inside you what you do have. Then the magic will work.
Yes, and I'd say to that mother, keep a diary, because the day is going to come when her granddaughter or her grandson is going to do to her daughter. She's going to come in, she's going to complain, do you know what he's doing? He's got a purple frog hanging from his left ear. And you're going to say, oh, well, let me tell you what I recall. Let me get out this diary. That's my 10 cents worth of gratitude. Just say, I'm going to record this for posterity.
Yes, exactly.
You have a delightful story in here by Donna Markova that I just thought was terrific. Life sometimes puts us in situations where circumstances happen that in a million years we never would have drawn up. And
yes.
She told the story about walking along a gravel road leading to an ocean in Rhode Island, and this thin, very, very old lady comes out, hobbling down a driveway towards her. And what happened?
Well, and she's just so excited about these beautiful flowers that she has growing, and she calls Donna over to witness them. And what I love about that story is that it's interesting that the teacher was an old woman in this case, because often this magic comes from very young children, which is that when kids are seeing for the very first time, I remember taking my daughter to the zoo, and when she saw an elephant, she was like, almost fell out of her stroller. It was just like, and whether it's no matter what our age, we can actually look at the world that what you're talking about is when you start to move a little bit slower, really take it in. Wow, really take in that color yellow. Or the blue of an umbrella, or the fact that the sun is shining. Or the other day here, it's springtime in California, and I cut off some fur balls from my cat and put them outside, and sure enough, my daughter and I watched chickadees pick at them to line their nest. And I imagine now these little eggs that are sitting on top of my cat's gray fur. I mean, it's just allowing life to touch you, the beauty that's around us in every single moment, the amazingness of existence. We can tap into that anytime, anywhere.
Well, what I loved about the story was that this old woman grabs her, and she just doesn't, she's going, oh, no, what are we doing?
Right, what is she going to try to do?
And out of respect to this little old lady, you know, when a little old lady grabs you and is dragging you someplace, and you're thinking, okay, does she have Alzheimer's? What's the problem
here? Exactly. Am I going to be thrown into the oven?
Yes, and she's dragging her over to this garden like you mentioned, and she couldn't contain herself. She was so excited. She said, isn't this great? Look at the splendor. This is just a miracle, isn't it? And here's this moment of joy that this person is pulling her to. And I liked your words of saying this was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
This woman was drawn to Donna, and she was drawn to her because she felt in some way in her very old bones that she would appreciate the beauty that was coming up to
her. That's right.
And when Donna experienced this, then she just was, wow. It was a moment-changing perspective, if you think of it from more than one side. One person dragging her into joy, and her saying, this lady's nuts, this is bad news. It's like she was in New York. And she's in her island.
That's great. Yes, absolutely. And so we can have that joy any moment, you know, or almost any moment, you know. And one of the things that I think that people need to be kind about themselves about this, and we've touched on this, but I want to circle back because I don't want people to have guilt feelings. When something terrible is happening, that's not the moment to do this. You know, I was asked to come and talk to a women's executive, a president's organization about gratitude at work. And I walked in, I started talking, and the energy seemed really strange, and this woman across from me started crying, and she eventually left. And the people around me said, well, she had just announced to the group before I got there that she was going to have to declare bankruptcy. That's not the day to listen to, let's all be grateful and appreciative, because you know, we have to go through the grieving part of whatever the difficulty is that we're going through. But at some point in the process, however, it does help us recover from the difficulties to start to practice gratitude. And in fact, experts now say, in resilience, say that it's one of the keys to whether we recover from hardships or not is the capacity to learn to be grateful.
I believe that is quite true. You have some other points in your book about invisibility, and you were talking about someone, your stepdaughter, I believe it was, who invited
her friend who came to stay.
Yeah.
Yes, which is that sometimes we can be, I guess what gratitude does is it helps us prevent us from having a sense of entitlement. When we are spoiled, we often feel like, oh, the world owes us these things. Well, in fact, every single thing that we're being given is a gift. And the more that we are grateful, then the more we recognize the gift and we appreciate it rather than being unappreciative. But we have to recognize that we're worthy of the gift. So this actually ties in with self-esteem. Because the story was that I hosted my daughter's friend for an entire weekend. I made sure we served the things she liked to eat, and she had flowers in her room, and all the things I do when there's a guest. And she never said a word of thank you, saying thanks or a gift or anything. And I said something to Michelle, my older daughter, saying, you know, I don't mind, but it's just curious to me. And she said, well, it's so interesting because, you know, this friend, she has no self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that she recognized that she was worthy of being given anything, so therefore she didn't even notice it.
That is
a huge
really, yes, that is so profound. we all have our filters. And if our filters are what I would call the real dark shade kind,
yes,
you cannot see maybe but just shadows around you. You're going to be looking at life, using the old adage, as a glass, not just half empty, but you're lucky if you got a drop in it.
Exactly. And so it's like, yes. And what that's like is that it's like pouring water into a bucket that has a hole in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hold. So the water keeps running through and you keep saying there's no water.
That's right. I liked your statement by Maya Angelou. It was an interview that she had with Oprah Winfrey, and she was asked why she was able to get through the hardships she faced, and that how it was that she never doubted herself. And the response was that she came to realize that God loved her, and from that point on, she no longer had doubts, because if God loved her, how could she doubt herself? And I thought, boy, that's cool.
She better love herself as well. That's right.
Yes. And yes. I thought, that really is wisdom, because that is self-appreciation, and that allows you to weather conditions a lot better. Also, you've got another quote, if you haven't got all the things you want, be grateful for the things you don't have that you don't want.
Yes.
And I like that one.
Some people, when they're beginning to practice thankfulness or gratitude or appreciation, whatever you want to call it, do best by focusing on at least it's not cancer kind of things. So, you know, at least I don't have this and I don't have that. And in fact, comparing ourselves to people who are less well off than us as a way, it's called, social psychologists call it downward comparison. So to do that actually helps us become more grateful. And interestingly, I used to always think it was a bad thing. It's like, you know, that I'm using someone else's suffering to feel better. I never used to like that. But then I read a thing that said the people who do this actually not only are more grateful, but they're more generous, because they recognize that they really do have more than others, and so therefore they give from that fullness. So saying, you know, at least I'm not starving and Africa will actually help you then recognize you aren't, and that you can actually give to those people. So gratitude is really one part of an experience that I don't think we have a word for, but it's this sense of fullness, and from that fullness we then want to give back to others. So we become more generous as well, and it's a beautiful cycle of in and out, like a breath in and out.
I found another statement by a Karen Wang that says there are many ways to victimize people. Now, this is something, if you really wanted to go in a negative way, one way is to convince them that they are victims. And I thought, that is quite a statement, because how many times do you see things on television or you hear statements how we are the victims? And that is a part of a propaganda that if you're able to get past that and say, wait a minute, I don't need to be a victim here. That is not something I want to do. And you can turn it around and you can be grateful that you have the capacity to think and recognize that you have the capacity to take something that may want to create you into that victim mode and say, excuse me, I don't need it. That baggage can go someplace else, the city dump as far as I'm concerned, and be recycled into something that's going to be more servable and useful. But it really is important, the capacity of thinking that encompasses victim positioning really does disempower people, and gratitude can turn that around where you realize maybe you don't have $1 million in your pocket, but you sure can take a different positioning on what you do have and maybe work towards a better financial positioning if that's what you want. But it's where you choose to put your mind, your thoughts, and also your action.
Well, absolutely, and I think part of it also is we're talking about the graduate school of gratitude now. So the lower levels are recognizing the goodness that we have. I think what graduate school is and what keeps us out of victimhood is to actually ask the question, how have I grown through this difficulty? What has been right about this? Not that I would wish it or want it or that it's a good thing that's happened, but the fact that it happened, I was then able to what? What did I grow in myself? What did I learn? How did I become a better human being? I have not met one person who's gone through difficulties, who haven't said in some way, shape, or form, I'm not grateful for what's happened, but I'm grateful for the ways that I've grown as a result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have friends who say cancer was the best thing that ever happened to them. People, you know, I spent a year lying down in back pain, and I learned so much about, you know, the mind and body and patience and, I mean, a million other things. Again, we don't wish these things to happen to us, nor do I believe we cause them to happen. But once they do happen, we always have the chance to say, what could be right about this? How could I grow through this? What qualities of heart, mind, and spirit am I developing as a result? And when we ask those questions, we stay out of victimhood.
That, I think, is a very good note for us to sort of close out our time here, because the attitude of gratitude is supposed to empower us, not disempower us. And it is supposed to be done in a way that allows you to take a breath and to look and to appreciate and to be open to pretty much everything that's around you. If you watch a puppy, if you watch a child, many times if you watch a mental patient, dependent on their state of mind, there is this openness and a willingness to be able to receive more good than they probably ever could imagine. That they look with excitement towards life. MJ Ryan, this 10th anniversary edition, I congratulate you. There's not many
Thank
people
you.
Who can say that about a book. Attitudes of Gratitude, I think it's a great book to have in a library, because it's talking about giving a gift of life of a very special level to yourself, and also something that you can pass along, and like she said earlier, it's totally free. MJ, what is your website?
It's mj-ryan.com. And I want to thank you so much for having me and getting to talk about this wonderful uplift that any of us can get at any moment of our lives. So thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Attitudes of Gratitude, MJ Ryan. Go to her website, mj-ryan.com, and you'll find out more information about this author who has published a lot of books. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Hey, I'm grateful for that. We'll be coming back in just a moment. We've got so many more good things to share with you. Don't go away. This is Donna. We'll be right back.
We've been down this road, and it's always finally ended. We've been under attack, but we've never surrendered. We've been caught unaware, been brought to our senses.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTemp Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, telephone lines are now open, and you can give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Worldwide, 888, and that includes the U.S., 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. So both of those telephone lines are open. I know we've got a caller on the line, but before we go to that caller, I want to remind you that I've got a class coming up if you're in the Pacific Northwest, Mind Vision, and I'll be sharing some information about that with you in just a moment. Welcome, caller, to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Tina from Phoenix, Arizona.
Tina, hi. Well, hi. Welcome to the show, and I'm sure in Phoenix that the sun is shining.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Great. You can huff and puff and send some over here to the Pacific Northwest. We got spoiled for 2 days, and we had the most gorgeous weather, 70 degrees. Everybody was in heaven, out in the gardens. People were just thrilled. Now we got the rain back. So we need a lot of hot air coming from Arizona.
We're probably known for our hot air.
I know. You've got lots of it, so shift some of it up here. Get some of those hot air specialists to send it up. Okay, now let's get down to business with you, Tina. And I notice we're having some feedback here, so just bear with it a little bit. We're having some interesting effects with the telephone lines. Anyway, Tina, the first thing that is coming into my mind with you is a sense of satisfaction. Apparently, you have been paying a great deal of attention to detail, more so than usual. You're getting a lot of little tiny loose ends that, for all of us, can be so irritating when they're just sort of dangling out there. And you have made a very concentrated effort to tidy things up. And this has required a level of focus and discipline, and you need to continue to do this for about the next 3 months. You're going to get so much done, and you're going to have things in such order, and you're going to feel so accomplished. You're going to say, my goodness, this is absolutely marvelous. I love this feeling. And you're going to have things organized, too. So keep on doing this focusing and this discipline of consistency and follow through. And though at times you're going to think you're not moving very fast, you really are, because you're getting rid of all the excess stuff that bogs you down. So there seems to be about a week that you're going to be giving, I think in the month of May, it's like you are going to really make sure that voicemail takes your messages, and you are going to make a very determined effort to go through some old records to be able to purge things out, and you may have somebody that's going to be able to come in and assist you with this, but you're very focused on it. You are so disciplined, and you even have some of the things that you're going to eat planned out in advance. This is going to shoot you forward really very, very, very fast. Also, there are some proposals that you are going to be working on. Those proposals will need a great deal of attention. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion to you that's going to sound a little strange, but trust me on this because it will work for you. If there is a particular type of music, classical music that has very soft, melodious tones to it, put it into a player and maybe put earplugs in your ears and while you and have it on very, very low as you possibly can, not so you can't hear it, but just so that it's just there playing, very, very low, and then do your work on your proposals. You're going to find your concentration is so much more alert and on the money with detail with what you're working with. It is going to be amazing to you. And it is, I recommend the classical music, but you need to find a piece that you really enjoy or a grouping of pieces and just play it. It needs to be, again, very soft, and I'm repeating myself for a reason. This is something that will cause the brain patternings to shift, so your focus is going to be much more intense. Your concentration is going to be very sharp, and you'll be able to do the problem solving you need to do effectively and thoroughly. This is going to enable you to do presentations, to deal with contracts, negotiations with a clarity that you will not have thought possible. And this is just, it's a very simple technique, but it works.
Okay.
Don't use the television.
Oh, no.
Don't use the television. It just needs to be, again, something that you can control the volume of very, very low. Do you have a question for me?
Well, I do. Through this month and the next month, I'm actually submitting things to have it reviewed and work that I've done and waiting on approval to move forward. Do you see that coming in as an affirmative?
You are going to be getting feedback. And there's something that you really need to be alert to. There needs to be the feeling when you finish your materials that you have given the very best for it and to it. When you have that, you're not going to have the apprehension because you're going to be moving forward with another project. So you're going to always have something in the works.
Okay.
Part of what is catching you up is there is this presence of mind, and it's on a subliminal basis, and it's coming through even when you're speaking. And that is the sense of, I don't know that it's good enough. So I think you need to work with someone else that can give you feedback before you submit these proposals, someone that has some expertise. You
okay.
need to have someone check your material for you.
Okay.
You are not having enough faith in yourself and in what you're doing. But I'll tell you, if you will give the best of what you've got, and then you have someone that can give you feedback within a period of time, that is going to assist you to develop more of a level of confidence and clarity. So you're shifting into a different mental processing, and it's always a challenge as we're making the shift. Because it means as we're shifting, we're getting prepared for a whole new level. So you need to have someone who can be like a mentor to you, who will be very critical, but critical from the positioning of wanting to be supportive of you.
Absolutely. I believe in that.
And then I think you're going to have the success you want.
Sounds
but
wonderful.
You need more than one project here, not just one.
Yeah, several.
Well, I wish you the best in what you do.
Can I ask you one other question?
Quick like a bunny, hon, and you will have to speak up. Your voice is going down into your stomach.
There's a meeting that I am facilitating on Monday, and I just got a heads up that someone that I'm aware of as a person that is not of the mindset that it's not like-minded will be coming in out of the blue attending this meeting.
How fabulous. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Do you see the outcome of this as being something productive, or do you see it as...
All right, hon. Let me stop you right there. You're going in the wrong way with your thinking. What you have here is a challenge. And someone has said, gee, you've got this negative person that's going to be coming in. What you are going to need to look at is, what are you afraid of? What is it that in your proposal that you are presenting, you would perceive as weak? Take the positioning that this person might take. Have someone maybe interact with you as if they are this person and are going to slam dunk you from the right and from the left. You want to be able to deal with this, and this again has to do with self-confidence. Be grateful that you've been given a heads up on this. This is marvelous. You want someone to challenge you, because if you are prepared for those challenges, then you are going to be able to make a presentation. Whether or not this person accepts it isn't the issue. It is going to actually help to reinforce what you are saying. You are presenting a value. It will help you to make the sale.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I do. I mean, I've talked with this individual before and directed them to where they would find their like-mindedness and their disruptive.
Hunt, you're going off on a tangent. You're not hearing what I'm saying. This is an opportunity for you. Look at it as an opportunity. Work with it as an opportunity. Use what's perceived as a negative. This does not have to be an enemy. This enemy can be one of the greatest gifts that's been given to you to enable you to prepare. Don't come from a point of fear. It's time for me to take a break, hon.
Okay.
I've got to go. Thanks so much for your call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Hey, we're going to take a break. Phone lines are open for you, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And that's worldwide, U.S. included. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or worldwide, including the U.S., 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I mentioned to you, if you're in the Pacific Northwest and listening to the show, I've got a class coming up on April the 25th, Mind Vision. This is about powering up your inner giant. Now, this seminar is going to be a full day. This is a Saturday, very interactive, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I don't often have the opportunity to teach classes, and this is something that I thoroughly enjoyed it last year, and I'm doing it again this year, so I invite you to join me. It's going to be held at the Center for Spiritual Living, which is a historical building, 206 North J Street in Tacoma. The fee for the class is $95, and that includes a catered lunch. We're reservations. If you like, you could contact me directly at 800-872-8852, or you can make reservations at the center, 253-383-3151, 253-383-3151. And all you need to do is mention the Donna Sebo Show, and you're automatically going to get a $10 discount. So it will be $85 for a full day. You're going to have a chance to interact with me one-on-one. We're going to be looking at how the genius within you can be given more oomph. And also, we're going to work, because I've been requested to do this, with developing your intuitive skills. So this is something that I'm really looking forward to, and I invite you to share that with your friends as well. Talking about gratitude, the attitude of, well, richness and appreciation for life, this is something that we all need to remember. And I've got a wonderful story about the secret life of birds, but before we go to that, let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Yes, Dee, and I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. I spoke to you yesterday. You told me to call back because it was at the end of the show. Hi.
Hi. Yes, you didn't have a chance to ask a question there.
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was wanting to hear what the story you were going to say, but I'll listen right after I get off.
Yes, please do that. Yeah, this is about New York. This is a wonderful story that I'll be sharing if we have the time. But tell me, what is your question there?
Oh, yes. I was wanting to see. I have been very grateful. I love the fact that, you know, work has been really good for me. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at manifesting really well with relationships. And I wondered, do you see what's blocking me in that area? Because I've been by myself for 2 years, and I love my space. I've dated a little bit, but not much. Just wondered what's blocking me.
I don't
what
think
am
anything's
I doing?
Really blocking you. Now, that's going to sound a little odd. I don't think that there's really a block in the way that you're thinking of it. I do think that there are some issues that you are wanting to resolve. And you're a very down-to-earth kind of a person. And so what I think is happening here is that you really want to have a meaningful relationship, a committed relationship. And there's a part of you that recognizes that you haven't quite relinquished the past. So let me use a few descriptive words that maybe will give you a better image. Let's call it your higher self, your wise self, your God self, that is aware that you're still carrying some old baggage. And so you may, when you're around someone and you're dating someone, be going through certain experiences, and you can't quite figure out why you just are not comfortable with where you are. Well, let's face it. Not everybody you're going to meet is going to be, you know, Mr. Wonderful. The likelihood is he's probably going to be more like a toad. So, and that's okay. But you don't have to kiss the toad. You can enjoy people for who they are and what they are. And you need to make it all right that it's not happening immediately, because part of the process is occurring within you. It's the process of self-discovery. It's the process of self-awareness. And it's a process of recognizing that you want to be sure that you really are ready for that kind of a commitment. Now, what I'm observing in my mind is that there's like one or two men that are really going to want to push marriage with you. You'll go out with them for a while, and it's just this wonderful feeling that, oh, gee whiz, these guys really like me, but there's something that's going on. You can't quite put your finger on it. And it's like, you know, it just makes me feel so good. I feel like I'm in a soap opera, and then all of a sudden the light's going to go on, and you go, oh, wait a minute. If I feel like I'm in a soap opera, I don't want to have a soap opera here. I want a real life. I want a real companion. And you just need to back up a little bit. Don't be in a hurry.
Okay.
2 years isn't that long. You are discovering who you are. And for you to attract the type of partner that you really want, be okay with dating different guys. Be okay with being in different social environments and circumstances, and enjoy this observation learning curve that you have with the opposite sex. You don't have to worry about being over the hill, hon. You got a long way to go. You're going to have to be 120 before you're over the hill.
Thank you.
So just don't worry about where you are. And if some people are saying to you, oh, wow, you know, how come you just haven't got 14 kids by now? Or, oh, boy, gee whiz, don't you realize the older you get, the harder it is to find a good man? Believe me, these people are stuck in paradigms you don't want to be stuck in. What you want to do is say, I really want to get to know me so that when that right person is in my life, I'm going to recognize him. Two, he's going to recognize me.
Sure.
And three, we're going to really feel good about each other.
Yeah, that's true.
So don't worry about the blocks. Just enjoy being who you are and the journey.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And thank you for calling in, Adi, and being able to ask your question.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful day, hon.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, I know we're almost out of time. Oh, gee, do I have time to share this story? Let's see. I think I might. Now, I'm going to speed it up a little bit. I'm really going to condense it. But this is a fellow by the name of Adam. And Adam was a man that ended up moving to New York City, and he had come from a very nice country area in New Jersey, and he said he just was so homesick for all the green and all the wonderful things. Well, the job had brought him into New York, and he had so many good things that were happening with the job, but, oh, he said, New York City, you've got to be kidding. All I see are the big buildings. Well, as it would happen, as he's yearning to be in the country, he ends up meeting, while he's in this very, very tall building environment of New York City, a guy by the name of Jeff. And Jeff had invited him to join him one day, and he said, okay, so he gets up early in the morning, and he had no clue really what it was going to be all about. And he meets Jeff, and here's Jeff with these big binoculars, and he's got a buddy with him. The guy's name is Chuck. Now, Chuck is a bird expert at the American Museum of Natural History. And then another person, Doug, has a camera with him. And Jeff, you know, is talking to Adam, and he says, wow, is this the first time you've ever been out with something like this? Of course, Adam doesn't have a clue what's going on. And he says, yeah. And he said, what are you doing? He says, well, we're all interested in birds. And he said, well, I guess I have something in common with you. One time I had a bird feeder. Yeah, right. Okay, so anyway, Jeff says, well, we're hoping to see something good. So they go into Central Park, which is a gorgeous park, by the way. And within just a matter of a few minutes, Jeff is calling out, do you see that bird? Well, Adam thinks it's a pigeon. And he's going, yeah, right, it's a pigeon. But he gets the binoculars, and you know what? Couldn't figure out what he was looking for. He said, what am I supposed to be looking for? And Jeff said, look for a hawk. He said, you've got to be kidding. You don't have hawks here in Central Park. But they did, and they do. There's a pair of hawks. It's Pale Male and Lolo, the red-tailed hawks. Oh, they're gorgeous. We have them here in the Pacific Northwest. They took up residence on a high-rise. Maybe some of you have seen the special that's been done on them. Well, Adam had never seen one, and he saw it. And he said it was just amazing. And, of course, the hawk had been out hunting, and what he had caught for breakfast was one of the millions of pigeons that have taken up residency in New York. But it was just amazing. He said we went towards the area called the Ramble, and we were able to find all kinds of things. In a conversation with these guys, over 200 species had been spotted in that area in Central Park. And Adam's whole life was turned around and changed because he said, you know what? I realized that I had opened up my eyes to see what was really around me. Wow, there was a world in New York City that I didn't even think existed. He said, I could hear a lot of the same sounds that I heard in New Jersey. This is Donna Stebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I know we are out of time tomorrow. Hey, do you want a second chance at your dreams? Well, by golly, you can have it. Yes, because we're going to be talking with Dorothea Hoover, and she's going to share some wonderful things with us. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're the boss in your life. Be grateful for what's around you. Your life is rich and full and can become even more so. Don't forget to turn on your light and shine it on others so that maybe they can find theirs. This is Donna Stebo. We'll be taking this time tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Stebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Stebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.